This is St. Paul Lutheran Church on May 12th, 2019. Pastor Don Neuendorf preaching on Acts chapter 20, verse 24 for Mother's Day.
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be here with you. God's grace and his mercy and his peace be with you. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to half of you. And yet, that's not a liturgical festival. Liturgically in the church year, this is Good Shepherd Sunday. And so our gospel lesson has that well-known chapter from John 10. We only read just a little bit of it. I would encourage you when you go home, take out your Bible and read that whole chapter. There's a lot there about what it's like to have a shepherd who cares for you. But our epistle lesson is similar. It's talking about a very special relationship. We're looking at the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 20. Paul has been traveling around Asia Minor over three missionary journeys. He has planted congregations. He has gone into cities where there were no believers at all and taught the word of God and brought people to faith in Christ, and churches have been built up, and he's been stoned, he's been chased out of town, he's been thrown in prison, all these different things that have happened to him. He's gone from place to place, and now he's near the end of his ministry, and he's taking an offering that he's collected for the believers in Jerusalem back there, but he says that the Holy Spirit has told him that when he gets to Jerusalem, he is going to be arrested and thrown into prison, and that he will soon die. This will be the end of his life and of his ministry. He's traveling back to Jerusalem. He's on a ship, and he stops at the port city of Miletus, and it's like being in a layover and intersecting. If it weren't for security, you used to be able to go meet somebody in the gate, you know, and one during their layover, somebody who was flying through your city on the way to someplace else. So the elders from the church in Ephesus, the guys who took over from him, who are leading the congregation there, they come down to see him because he had spent a year and a half, I think, in Ephesus. And he knew them well, and they'd gone through a lot of stuff together. And they come down to greet him, and he tells them, "This is probably the last time you're ever going to see me." It says then at verse 20, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He says, it doesn't matter if I die, if only this, if at least I was able to tell you about the good news of the love, the generous love of God. What's that like? 2006. Lydia Angiou, in northern Quebec. This is way up there. What sea is it that it's the coastline there of northern Quebec? They're on the shore of the ocean there. And she's got a toddler, like a four-year-old. And that toddler's friend, two boys, they're walking along the beach. And they are attacked by a polar bear. A polar bear, of all things. And she jumps in between the boys and this bear because, of course, the predator goes after this. These are tiny people. They are ideal prey as opposed to the adults. She comes in between them and hits or kicks or fights off this polar bear until somebody nearby is able to shoot it. 2009, in Vancouver, it's rough living in Canada, Maureen Lee is walking with her 3-year-old daughter when a mountain lion jumps on her daughter, knocks her to the ground, and claws at her. And this mother grabs a hold of a 70-pound mountain lion and throws it. Then scoops up her daughter and runs to a nearby house to take shelter. 2010, Melissa Harvey, down in Texas, their house is consumed with flames as she grabs her 6-year-old and runs out of the house, but her 11-year-old and 13-year-old are still cowering in the house. They are afraid because it's fire all around them. She runs back into the house and brings out her 2 older children from this burning house. Same year, Nikki Carpenter in Missouri. There is a tornado coming. The noise is intense. She takes a mattress and she throws it on top of her 3 little boys. And she lays on top of the mattress so that it will not blow off of them to protect them. And the tornado strikes their house. The house collapses on top of them all. And she's killed. But the boys are fine. They're unharmed. And the classic, and I mean, I could read these all day. Angela Cavallo in Georgia, her teenage son loved to work on his car, which was a Chevy Caprice. Chevy Impala. I used to tease Abe Zilke about his Impala because I told him it was an old man's car. Because it was, you know, one of those, it used to be used as a police pursuit vehicle. That's a big car with a big V8 engine. And her son was working on his car, and the jack stands collapsed, and the car fell on top of him. And his mother, Angela, picked up the car by herself and held it until a neighbor could pull him out from under. Holy smokes! The things that a mother can do to save the life of her child. The things that we would be willing to do to throw ourselves in the way of death for the sake of a child. I remember vividly, I think I've told you before, about the time that my 2 youngest brothers, twins, climbed out of an upstairs window and out onto the roof. And we were in the front yard, and my mother saw that, and she set a world record for upstairs. She sprinted up there to get to that window to say, "Come in." She didn't say, "Come in, I'm going to whip you to within an inch of your life." She was frantic, and she did something I had never seen her do before. When we love our children, we are willing to make sacrifices that are unlike anything we would ordinarily do. You will probably not be faced with such a life and death choice today or anytime soon. But you make choices, as fathers or mothers, as friends, as siblings, as children toward your parents. You make choices all the time to sacrifice yourself for someone else. Don't you? It's not only parents, but especially parents are a great example. Parents do this for their kids. Your parents did this for you. You don't remember when you were, you know, under a year old. But, and frankly, it's hard for me as a grandpa now to really remember how many hours of sleep we lost. But as I read my daughter's Facebook posts and all their friends who are posting and sharing this, they keep talking so much about sleep. They don't talk about, "Oh, I wish we could go to Disney World." They don't talk about, "Oh, I wish I could go to a spa." They talk about, "I wish I could get a night's sleep." But when you have children, you give up. I do remember vaguely, yeah, how heavy they could get after a while. And when they're just crying and you're just walking, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're just walking with them back and forth, because as you walk, they settle down, but as soon as you stop, they wake up. How your back would start to hurt, and you would think, morning is coming and I got to go to work. But you would do this. You would stay up. You would sacrifice your sleep, because what else are you going to do? This is your child, and you will give anything for them. Think of what your parents sacrificed for you. Not only sleep, but their time. Do you know the interests that they had, the hobbies that they, the things they used to enjoy, the stuff they always used to do before you came along? That they would love to be able to do, but they set those things aside, all their personal preferences. Your father did not want to watch The Little Mermaid. Not even once, let alone 3 times, 5 times, 10 times in a week. Or to sing those songs with you. Your parents set aside their personal preferences for the things that they would wish to do because they were serving you. They spent so much money on you. And there were times that I struggled with it. One of the things that seemed to me like every time I was, we'd had enough saved up, I could get this tool or this thing that I thought we needed, we could do this, and then everybody would need shoes. I don't need shoes every 6 months, but you do what you have to do, right? They sacrificed money, they sacrificed time, they sacrificed sleep, they sacrificed their personal preferences for life. Many times we sacrifice our career, our job goals, the things we could have done because something else was more important. I know people who have moved, who have left their work or changed their whole lives around to care for their parents, or who have sacrificed promotion or progress or advancement that they could have had for the sake of someone else, a sibling or a friend, because that was more important. Why would people make sacrifices like this? We don't do that just so that the kids can have fun. There were lots of things my parents did with me that were not at all fun. We don't do that so that our children will have everything easy. I know my parents could have made it harder, but I didn't think they made it easy. They challenged us. We don't do it just so that our children will always be happy. But what is it that we, more than anything else, when it comes down to it, what is it that more than anything else a mother or a father desires to do for their child? Paul says, I don't count my life of any value. My life is not precious to me. I will give my life, he says, if only I can do this one thing. Testify to the gospel of the grace of God, to tell you about the good news of God's love for you, because you have to know that. That is a matter of life and death. What would you give for your child? What would you give for the sake of somebody that you dearly love? In a crisis, in an emergency, you would give your life. Paul says he would give anything so that at least he knows that he has given you this, the gospel that you need for eternal life. And then he goes on in this chapter, if you'd like to follow along. These are things that a loving parent would do, as he is like a parent to these believers in Ephesus, this congregation, these people that he loves. This is what a person does. He says, verse 27, therefore, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I told you the truth about everything that God tells us. My parents sometimes told me things I didn't want to hear. They told us difficult things. They told us, this is what God wants. And it may not be what you want. But we don't shrink from telling those that we love the truth from God's word. He says, verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Those who love the sheep, those who love the little ones that God has entrusted to them, pay careful attention to them. We watched our kids like a hawk, and somehow still we would lose them sometimes. They would wander off. Kids require a lot of attention. Paul says, those that we love, we watch them. We pay attention to them and to all the flock that God has entrusted to us. Because after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. We protect them. We give anything to protect them from everything that would draw them away from life in Jesus Christ. Paul says, verse 31, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease day or night to admonish everyone with tears. That sounds like my mom. Day or night admonishing, right? Sit up straight. If you keep going like that, you're going to end up with your shoulders rounded, right? And don't chew with your mouth open. Don't talk with food in your mouth. And say please and say thank you. She admonished us about many things, day and night. But most of all, she reminded us about God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And she said things like, we should pray about that. She said things like, what would God have you do in that situation? She said things like, well, let's look in God's word. Day and night, we bring our children and those we love back to what we know to be the truth. And verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Paul is leaving. He leaves them in God's hands. Loving parents leave their children in God's hands because, as you know, you got big. And before you knew it, your parents couldn't take care of you anymore, and you were actually starting at some point to take care of your parents. They commended you to God because they loved you. He says at verse 33, I coveted nobody's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own necessities and to those who were with me. Paul supported himself because they were so poor. In their faith, they were such new Christians. He said, I didn't take anything from you. I think over the years, the things I bought from my mom for Mother's Day, she kept saying, I'd ask her, you know, what do you want? And she'd say, I want a spatula. That's a dumb thing. That doesn't seem very loving. Well, I would go and I would buy her actually what turned out to be a pancake turner. I thought that was a spatula. Because the next year, I'd ask her, what do you want? She'd say, I want a spatula. I'd say, I thought I got you that last year. Finally, oh man, I don't remember what year it was, for Mother's Day, the seven of us kids got together and we bought seven spatulas, actual spatulas, in seven different sizes, from biggest to smallest. And my sister made a rack for them, and we each painted them differently and put our names on them and hung them up there for her, the spatulas that she always wanted and never got. Our parents don't want big things from us. We don't love people in order to get stuff from them. And frankly, there was little that we could ever give to them. We were just children. Like Paul says, I didn't covet your stuff, but I worked hard to serve you. That's what our parents have done for us. And then he says, and this comes right after where our text stopped, at verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Paul prayed with them. My mom prayed with us. My dad was a deeply spiritual man, but not very verbal. It was my mom who always put us to bed. It was my mom who taught us to pray. It was my mom who prayed with us, who noticed when things weren't going well. She was paying attention and asked us what was wrong and prayed with us about the things that troubled us. She prayed with us because above everything else, she needed to do this. To share with us the grace of God, the love of God which she had received. You do this for others, I pray. Those whom you love, you would give your life for. And how much more do we want to give to them the life that we have received from God, our Heavenly Father, who has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, who put Himself in front of us, who placed Himself between us and our enemy, sin and Satan and death, and took our death upon Himself, so that we could live. This is the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of how much God loves you, that He has given this to you to give to others. Mother's Day is a special time, and we have a lot to be thankful for. But it's not only mothers who have the task of loving and giving life. It's an amazing thing that a woman is able to give life out of her own body. But we are called to give life, the gospel of eternal life, to all those whom Jesus loves. Amen. And now may the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.